Get ready to be mesmerized. Get ready to be entertained. Get ready to be informed. And most of all, get ready to listen. The latest sports news, great interviews, and the best coverage from around the nation's capital. It's Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the district, right now on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio. Here's your host, Kelsey Nicole Nelson.
And welcome to another edition of Listen In with KNN, presented by Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM and 1340 AM. I'm your host, the other Ray J, riding solo today while Kelsey and Tyrone are down in ATL for the Super Bowl. Make sure you check them out all week as KNN teams up with Darren Smith from KLKC Radio. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and get ready to listen in and follow along with the conversation on social media utilizing the hashtag Listen In with KNN. All right, so let's get right into the show. I'm going to go ahead and start off with my joke of the day. Despite a few haters, I've been receiving some positive feedback on my joke of the day segment, so I'm going to keep them going until I get fired. All right, for the first joke of the day, why didn't the dog want to play football? Because it was a boxer. Get it? Boxer. That was a little corny, but I think that might be my top three of the year so far, so we're going to go ahead and move right along before we lose any more fans. I hope y'all enjoyed that joke. I think it was a good one. But let's get right into this week in sports history. On this day in sports history, back in January 28, 1949, Major League Baseball's New York Giants signed their first two black players, Monte Irvin and pitcher Ford Smith. Many fans are familiar with Irvin, who played 5 years in the MLB and 9 in the National Negro League, earning himself a place in the MLB Hall of Fame. Irvin was considered one of the top baseball players back in his era, right next to the legendary Jackie Robinson. So that's all for this day in sports history. We'll be right back after this short commercial break.
Advertisement and sponsorship opportunities are now available for Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM, Fox Sports Radio, WHAP. Become a part of the hottest new sports talk show in the nation's capital, fueled by one of the largest national sports radio networks. Hosted by award-winning sports personality Kelsey Nicole Nelson, Listen In with KNN brings listeners the latest trending topics in sports and in entertainment each week. So if you're looking to maximize your brand's exposure alongside the best local and national sports coverage, plus special live editions of Listen In with KNN from venues around the region, email Kelsey at kelseynelson@foxsports1340am.com. For more information about Listen In with KNN, visit foxsports1340am.com.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports sound of the DMV. I am the other Ray J. Join me in welcoming my fellow Delaware State University alum, the one and only voice of all voices, Mr. Ralph Wesley. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate that. You said some nice words there.
I appreciate you joining me, man. It's always good to reconnect with former alum from my school, Delaware State, the Delaware State University. They're not
Hornet?
Doing too well in sports.
Hornet? Not much going on sports-wise, but, you know, we still support, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's go ahead and get into a little bit of your background. Do you want to tell the people how you got to become the voice of the Washington Wizards?
Well, I started announcing when I was at said Delaware State. I got my first try at things when I was a freshman at a baseball game in 2000, it's either 2001 or 2002, and then, you know, I started officially in, 2003, that football season. And then, you know, I just did pretty much all the sports I could handle up until I graduated and, you know, really honed my skill and experimented at Delaware State with a lot of things and, you know, tried a few things that worked a lot of things that worked and maybe just a few things that didn't. And then once I got out, started working in radio and had a chance to announce a Mystics game I think in 2007. And I started working with them for the next 3 years as a backup and a PA assistant. And in 2010, the summer of 2010, they offered me the job. Well, actually in 2009, after the 2009 season, they offered me the job for 2010. And so I was announcer for 2010, and then at the end of that Mystic season, the WNBA season, the Wizards gig opened up, and you know everybody encouraged me to audition for that, and you know it was an audition process, and I think there's about 250 people that it dwindled down to, then it got down to 50, then 10, 5, and then there was three of us, and I eventually got the gig. So I've been doing it since 2010.
Wow, that's impressive, man. That's a lot of competition out there, and you were able to separate yourself. So kudos to you, or hats off to you on that great job there. Before
Thanks,
we go
man.
Any further, you said you did bring up the NBA and the Wizards. Before we go any further, I want to give you a special edition of our icebreaker game. We typically call it This or That, where I give you two titles. You pick which one you prefer, but this is the basketball edition, since, of course, you are a basketball enthusiast. You ready to go?
Yeah, let's do it.
And I'm starting now with Kyrie or Steph?
Kyrie.
LeBron or KD?
LeBron.
Anthony Davis or Boogie Cousins?
Anthony Davis.
Kobe number 8 or Kobe 24?
Which one scored 81?
I believe that
I think
was
it
8.
Was 8. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. Well, nah. I'm going to go with Kobe 8. Kobe 8.
Okay.
I called Kobe 8 Bag of Ants because, you know, he was Shaq's caddy at the time. So that's just a joke I had with amongst friends. Yeah.
Got you. But Kobe put up a lot of numbers with the 24, too. That's always a good debate for people to argue.
Absolutely.
The next one is Barkley or Malone?
Oh, that's tough. I had an equal hatred for both of them.
Okay.
But because I think because Barkley is, you know, Barkley is Barkley. Barkley.
That's all you need
Barkley.
To say.
Barkley was a dog, man. Carl was a dog too, but it was hard to see. You don't know what Karl Malone could have done without, or would have done without Stockton. So I'm going to go with Barkley.
I always lead towards Barkley too, because I feel like Stockton,
yeah.
I mean, Malone always had Stockton
all
his career. So we don't know what he could have done without him. That leads me to my next question is Stockton or Isaiah Thomas?
I'm going to go just as a point guard purist, I'm going to go with Stockton. But if I really wanted somebody on my team with attitude, you got to go with Isaiah. But if you want somebody, you know, who's going to, you know, keep it straight, keep everybody in line, you know, Isaiah, you know, they both hold some of those same attributes. But, you know, if you just want that dog at the end of the day, I would have to go with Isaiah. But, you know, as a pure point guard enthusiast, I'd go with Stockton.
Okay, I'm going to hit you with another throwback. Magic Johnson or Larry Bird?
Oh, Magic. Magic.
Okay. Will Chamberlain or Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
I'm going to just go with Wilt. I mean, Wilt was just everything. Wilt was just everything. Wilt, I mean, come on, man. I mean, we love Kareem, but, I mean, Wilt was just everything. When you look at the numbers and stats-wise, yeah, he put them up.
I agree with that one. All right, this next one, I don't want to cause any issues or anything, so you feel free to pass if you need to. John Wall or Bradley Beal?
Oh man, are they listening? No, I'm joking. I'm gonna go with Bradley.
Ooh, with Bradley.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
that's interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I'll say that's interesting. You said that Kelsey let me know the other day that John Wall started following her on Twitter. So if he is listening, I hope we didn't bother him with that answer there. So
No. Way, I mean. And it could be just kind of like one of these things, you know, what have you done for me lately? And Bradley's been there and John has been hurt. So it's a real difficult question. And it's not at all a slight against John. It's just that, you know, just seeing the growth in Bradley, these past couple months it's been tremendous. And, they've been playing better team ball as a team. You know, without John, and I've been excited about that. So
That was a tough one. I didn't mean to put you on the spot there, but that always seems to be the toughest part, especially with Wall going out with an injury for the second time. And you know, last year they had a similar issue, and then the Wizards played a little bit better without him. But I feel like they can't go far without both of them. But,
No, absolutely, you can't. Without John, you're not going too far. You know, you're playing tough, but he puts you over the top. You know, especially on this team. So. You know, it wasn't like, I'm not saying they were glittering gold with him, you know, in the lineup, you know, to start the season. But, you know, at this point, you're never going to get over the top without him.
All right. So for this last one, it's this might be a little bit of a throwback as well. Washington Wizards or Washington Bullets?
Bullets.
Ooh, what made you pick the Bullets?
I mean, the Bullets, honestly, the Bullets never won anything. The closest they got was Chris Webber, Calvert Chaney, Juwan Howard, and he ran into Mike the first round of the playoffs. That was, you know, that was like the heyday. And then, you know, in my heyday, at least for my generation. And then prior to that, it was just like Tom Gugliotta. And then it's not much before that. So, but that, you know, just like the Bullets in that name and it's just the contrast to the name Wizards. It's just kind of like, no, I love my organization, but, like the Bullets just, you know, it just kind of rang true, I guess. It's easier. It flows off the tongue easier than, you know, Wizards. You know, you can have a lot of, you can have, you know, from my perspective, you can have a lot of fun with Wizards, but it's like Bullets. Bullets is like straight to the point, you know, no questions asked. So
I was always curious how they settled in on that name Wizards. It seemed like it just came out of nowhere. I want to see the list of other names that were available at the time they made the decision.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I didn't mean to cut you off, but I was thinking about that like a couple weeks ago. I remember when they were, you know, taking suggestions on the names, and some of the names were terrible. So, and how they settled on Wizards, I don't know. I think they would, if they held that today, you know, it would be a completely different story. But, yeah, name changes are tough at this time.
You got the Nationals, you got the Capitals. The Wizards just seem so off out of nowhere.
You even got DC United. I mean, United, Capitals, Nationals, all those things make sense. They reflect the city, you know, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Let's talk about the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are surging right now. They got 10 straight wins. And if you look back, they only have one loss in 2019, which happened to be the game against the Houston Rockets when James Harden hit that shot with 2.7 seconds left in overtime. So what's your thoughts on the Golden State Warriors? Are they unstoppable right now? Or do you think they're just hot because of the addition of Boogie Cousins?
No, I think they're unstoppable. And I'll explain why. You know, it seems unfair. It seems like you're playing a video game and you just pick your fantasy team and you come up with five all-stars and everybody's like 95, 96, 97 or above. and it's like completely unfair. You know, and the only thing that could really hold them back is themselves, you know, a lack of chemistry or egos that get in the way. But if they can really buckle down, they should have really no issues. And I tell you what, the Western Conference Finals are going to be really interesting. It may come down to, I'm hoping it comes down, you know, depending on how things pan out towards the end of the season. And I know it's still early, but I'm really hoping this comes down to a Rockets and a Warriors Western Conference Final. But it really seems, and I'll say this again, it seems unfair. And the only thing that can hold them back is you know, that infighting that has gone on. And, you know, you look at it now, Kevin Durant and Draymond Green have obviously, you know, come to terms and have said, you know, put those things behind them, you know, because egos get in the way. I mean, you know, they're both competitors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when they were in town on Thursday to play the Wizards, you know, I think there was somebody's at the free throw line, and KD was on the sideline, and he was taking some direction from Draymond Green, who had yet to check back in. And, you know, he was in his ear, and they were both like, you know, talking strategy. And I think that's a long way from, you know, them arguing with each other on the bench, which we saw earlier this season. And that's not, you know, if you play team ball at any level, you know, you're going to have some, you know, guys are going to go at each other's necks. You know, it's just the competitive nature of basketball. If you're not doing that, everybody's being so nice and nobody's being real. So I think once those things got settled, and then DeMarcus is just happy, you know, if you look at him and you watch him play and you hear him in interviews, he's just happy to be out there. He's just happy to be playing basketball again. You know, he's hit the jackpot. I mean, you already got an established team who even before Kevin Durant was there, is a championship team. And you add Kevin Durant, then you throw in DeMarcus Cousins.
I mean, he's just like, you know, everybody's just kind of like along for the ride. Now, everybody has to make some adjustments, but I mean, what more could you ask for if you're a teammate?
I agree with you. Boogie definitely hit the jackpot. He came to a team that didn't necessarily need him, so there was no rush, no pressure for him to come back from his injury and perform at a super high level. He can kind of just gradually get himself back into game shape, gradually develop, learn the system, and potentially ride his way to a ring and still make a couple dollars at the same time and then increase his value for next season when he's a free agent again. So he definitely hit the jackpot. I agree with you 100% there.
Jay, they don't need KD. I mean, they won without him.
So I was going to go through next with KD's pending free agency, and like you said, the infighting with between him and Draymond. What do you see KD doing? Do you see KD leaving, whether they win a title or not?
Man, it's tough to say because I don't know what he's thinking, and I'm pretty sure he's gotten a lot of heat for going. He's gotten a lot of heat for going there in the first place. You know, a team that had previously beat you in the playoffs, and then you go and join the enemy. And you look at Westbrook and him, you know, scratching his head like, really? You're going to go? I can see you leave, but you go over there? Like,
yeah.
And so I'm sure some of that stuff still eats at him, you know, even though he's got a championship. You know, it has to eat at him. And I know he pays attention to the media. You know, players
Definitely.
These days, you know he's listening. You know he's watching. You know he's scrolling through his social media, and he's taking all this stuff in. And I think, you know, at the age of 30 now, if you really want to leave a legacy, you have to go to another team that you can take full responsibility for, that you're not just along with the rest. I mean, look, he's a leader on the team now, but we know with the core that Golden State built, just with players that they drafted. They drafted a dynamic trio that won a championship. You know what I mean? They drafted that team. And now they just picked up some free agents, and now they're unstoppable. But if you're Kevin, if you really want to leave that legacy, if you're me, if you're Kevin, if you really want to leave that legacy, if you want to leave that imprint of competitiveness and basketball awareness, you really have to go to another team and maybe, you know, reel in another superstar that you can really, you know, fight tooth and nail for it night in and night out. You know, that's just my suggestion. But what Kevin's going to do, you have no idea, man. Nobody had any idea that he would go to Golden State. No, that was the last, probably the, you know, I know that was, Golden State was on a short list of teams for him, but to actually go there, you know, it was unthinkable.
Yeah, definitely. No, I don't think anyone expected him to go to Golden State. I know when the rumor first came out, I was like, it's no way. They even have money for him. But somehow they made it work, and he went. But I want to go back to what you said about him. He needs to leave for his legacy. What team do you think would be the best place for him to continue his legacy and potentially, you know, expound upon that? I would think the New York Knicks would be at the top of that list.
He's already
pretty much said he's not going to go to L.A. to be with LeBron. He kind of ruined that with some of his comments earlier in the season. Outside of the Knicks, maybe Brooklyn Nets, seeing that that's a newer franchise and they're trying to disconnect from the old New Jersey Nets legacy. Outside of those two teams, or do you think one of those two teams is a possible candidate?
No, New York was at the top of my list for him. But the thing about New York is they're going to eat you alive. If you don't perform, they're going to let you know about it. It's not some cookie cutter, media in the locker room after each game. They're going to come at you. They're going to ask you the hard questions. And are you tough enough to handle that, you know, night in and night out? Especially, like we said, for somebody who keeps up with what's going on in the media, what's being said about him. It's so funny. I was on Instagram today, and I saw a Bleacher Report posted something about, you know, he took a shot after the buzzer the other night, and, you know, they said he was trying to save his field goal percentage. So he actually replied back to the post. I'm not going to say what he said, but it was like, why would you even reply back? Like, just let it go. You know what I mean?
He's got too much time on his hands, I swear. Like, he's always playing back and stuff. I just would think that somebody of his caliber doesn't have time for stuff like that. So,
but I think like him and, you know, if Porzingis sticks around, which I think New York has really invested in him. I think you can really make some, you can really carve your own niche. You can really make a way in the East. And I think if you really want to cut your teeth, and do it solo, well, not solo, but you know, not on a superstar team, New York would be it. And if you can win in New York, if you can make it to the second round in New York, you know how appreciative they would be of you. Like, they haven't been to the second round in, you know, forever. And it's been a long haul for them. So you can really carve out, you know, a different kind of lasting legacy in New York if you could just be tough enough.
I agree with you. And I definitely think that's a great opportunity because you got a lot of young pieces there as well. You know, we got Knox in the draft last year, or excuse me, this mm-hmm. previous draft. And then when KP comes back, that's a nice little front court, the 3, 4, and the 5. And if we can lure one of the point guards, maybe either Kemba or Kyrie, to join up, that's a nice team that can definitely do some damage in the playoffs. And like you said, it won't be the pressure of winning a championship right away, because New York fans would be happy to just be back in the playoffs consistently. So he'll have a good 2 to 3 year buffer where they won't be riding it too crazy. Because the expectations won't be that high because it's been so much losing going on recently. So that would definitely, to me, be the best opportunity. But if he wants to win faster, I may see Brooklyn as his window or his avenue to go to, because they have a young core right now, and they're definitely balling in the East. They're actually in the playoffs if the playoffs was to start today. So that might be his opportunity if he didn't want to take as much time to rebuild as it would be in the Knicks team. But a lot of that weighs on KP coming back fully healthy and ready to go as well.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Right. So let's go ahead and get right into the All-Star lineups. I know you heard the announcements earlier last week. I'm going to go ahead and run through them real quickly, and then I want to go back and forth with you to see who you think the reserve should be. For the East right now, we got Giannis, Joel Embiid, Kawhi Leonard, Kyrie Irving, and Kemba Walker. And for the West, we have LeBron James, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Paul George. Any of those guys you may want to swap out at this point, or are you confident or you agree with all those picks right there?
No, I agree with all of them. You know, it's the starting lineup is a popularity contest. We all know that. And these guys are not only popular, but, you know, they absolutely deserve it. I mean, it's not like, you know, one guy has missed half the season and then, you know, has played the last 2 weeks and gets to start in the All-Star game. It's not like that. These guys have really put in the work this year, and they absolutely deserve it.
You know what's funny about that? You say it's a popularity contest. I read online that Carmelo Anthony actually received 7 votes from players to actually be a starter in the All-Star game. So I thought that was
Well, you know, I think that's funny, but I think there's empathy there because, you know, he hasn't been playing. You know, it's a fraternity of sorts. So yeah. I think because he hasn't been playing and they feel like he should, you know, just get on a team that, you know, will accept him for who he is and just kind of tag along. But, yeah, I think there's a lot of empathy right there.
I'm not going to lie. I voted for him about 4 times, too. That's my favorite player. Hopefully my fan vote. I thought my fan vote was going to get him in there, but it didn't work out. It's all good. So real quickly, I'm going to just go through my reserves. You ready to prepare to go? Please don't tear my team down too much. Some of them was with my heart, not too much with my head. I'm a fan of a lot of these players, so I wanted to see them get in. Anthony Davis, I feel like he deserved this to be on All-Star team. Actually, I can hear a lot of consideration for being a starter, but, you know, he's definitely on my reserve list. I had Jokic from Denver. Another heart call with Derrick Rose. I definitely want to see Derrick Rose on All-Star team. I believe he deserves it. He's putting up some quality numbers. He may not make it. He may get snubbed, but that's one of my votes. Klay Thompson, of course. Russell Westbrook. Luka Doncic from Dallas. And then another heart call was Lou Will from the Clippers. The Clippers have performed well, so I definitely believe he should be on that roster. Any feedback on my Western rosters right now?
No, I hear you on the Derrick Rose thing. I would not do that because I don't know who you really swap out. Who was the last guy you said? You said one of the last two you mentioned.
Oh, last person. So my three that's on the line, like more so with the heart, not the head, are Derrick Rose, Luka Doncic, and Lou Williams. So if you really look at the numbers, Dame Lillard, DeMar DeRozan, and Donovan Mitchell all have better numbers than those three. But like I said, I'm voting with my heart, not my head. I'd rather see D Rose because I feel like he deserves it. He definitely is running away with comeback player of the year. It should not even be
any type of discussion.
And with that, I feel like he should be rewarded because his team is not doing super poorly, but he's also performing pretty well. There's been a lot of turmoil in Minnesota. He deserves a shot. And then Lou Will, just simply because he got snubbed last year. He should have made the team last year. The Clippers are right now, they're in the playoffs if the playoffs started today, and he's putting up great numbers. So I like to reward winning, but I also like to reward my favorite players as well.
I love Lou. I haven't heard anybody throw Lou in there, but he's not really on those lists to make it. But no, you make a good point. I think, man, I even see sometimes Lonzo Ball on some of these lists, and I'm like, not over Lou Williams.
I've been a fan of Lou Will for a long time. I don't know what it is.
Me too. I wish that the Wizards had. I think when he was a free agent a couple of years ago, that I was hoping that they would make a way to at least try to pick him up or make a run at him, but it didn't happen.
All right, so let's go ahead and transition over to the East. I got Kyle Lowry out of Toronto, Ben Simmons, Jimmy Butler, Bradley Beal, Oladipo, D'Angelo Russell from the Brooklyn Nets, and Blake Griffin, and then my replacement for Oladipo because he's injured will be Dwayne Wade. So any of those guys you see not deserving of a spot?
Dwayne Wade does not deserve a spot, but I think
that was more like I said, that's a heart call right there again because this is last season. You know, you want to see him go out with the victory lap, so that's why I threw D Wade in there.
No, I tend to agree with that, but you know, guys like Kyle Lowry and Eric Bledsoe absolutely deserve to get a look more than that. You know, like you said, D'Angelo Russell, of course. You know, who's going to replace Oladipo? Oladipo would naturally make it. You know, at this point, you know, with them going down, maybe somebody actually gets that chance, like Zach LaVine. Maybe he gets a shot, you know, at making the team. I think he has a good chance of making the team as well.
And that's one of the things, though, about the All-Star game. Do you reward the team for winning or do you reward players for putting up high numbers? Because the Bulls are, like, at the bottom of the barrel. Mm-hmm. I don't know that – would he be putting up numbers like that on a winning team? That's where it gets a little iffy sometimes. So I think you make a good point.
I think you have to have a good balance of both.
Mm-hmm, I agree. And that's why I was kind of questionable about putting Blake Griffin on, because if it started today, they'd be in 10th place. They'd be behind the Wizards who are in 9th. So I was almost not going to put Blake Griffin, but he is putting up some huge numbers. He can't necessarily do everything on his own, so I still gave him the nod over Dwayne Wade. But the Heat are doing well. They're in the playoffs right now, and like I said, it's Wade's victory lap, so I figured we might as well throw him in there as an injury substitution.
If you throw in Wade, you got to throw in Vince. I mean, Vince just turned 42 years old. Am I right? Is it 42 or 41?
Well, look, this honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. This may be a horrible idea, but I think Vince should go into the dunk contest for his last season. Can you imagine the hoopla and everything that would go along with that? That would be a 30 for 30, like an automatic 30 for 30. It would go down in history as the greatest dunk contest of all time. Just if he did one of the dunks that he did previously, he would win 50% every time. He could still get up. So that would be an awesome story. We might have to start a little hashtag war with that one and just say, invent the dunk contest. That would be amazing.
No, that would be great. That would be great. I just saw some clips earlier today about how when he, even before he had played an NBA game, you know, he and Tracy McGrady had like a pre-season dunk contest. I'd never seen this footage before. And, you know, they went at it. Like, Tracy didn't want to go against, oh, this is my cousin. Oh, he's doing well. You know, because Tracy had already been in the league a year, and he was still only 19. And then Vince comes out, you know, he's a rookie, he's 20, and they're having like a preseason dunk contest in Toronto. And it was amazing. If you get a chance, you should look it up.
Oh yeah, definitely. I looked at it. Yeah, send me that link. Cause I just can't imagine like what type of gene pool do they have to create two players with that much athleticism. Like, what were they eating when they grew up? What did grandma cook?
It's got to be something to food, right? It's got
to
be.
Yeah, like what was she feeding them to get them to get that type of athleticism? I can barely jump over a phone book, but these guys are jumping over human beings. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. No, literally, yeah.
All right, but since we did touch on him earlier, Victor Oladipo, I do want to elaborate on that story a little bit. You know, he's one of the hometown heroes. He's from this Maryland area. He's out for the season with a ruptured quad tendon in his right knee. It was kind of a fluke accident. He was just kind of getting back on defense, and it seems like maybe he just took a bad step, and his knee kind of just gave out on him. So I'm going to ask you, Ralph, what does his injury mean for the Pacers season?
Oh, but it's gonna test everything that Coach McMillan has. I mean, like, he's gonna have to coach his butt off the rest of the season. Now, you know, your best player, who, you know, coming off last season, I'm not gonna say he was surprising folks by how well he was playing, but how well he was leading this team this year, and I think they finally had the pieces in place to really make a run in the East. And now, you know, your best player goes down, and now you're looking around like, who's going to step up? You know, Miles Turner does a good job on the low post, but, like, you can't replace Victor Oladipo. You can't. And so some of those games where, you know, they may not be playing well defensively, Coach McMillan is going to really have to, you know, with his skill set, like, push these guys over the top and really make things happen. If they can play 500 basketball just with the next 2 months, I think they're still in good shape. They may not drop any lower than the fifth or sixth seed. I mean, they're still going to be in the hunt. But I don't really see them, you know, if they stick to where they are right now, I don't see them getting past the second round. Of course, it's just too tough. You know, right now, as it stands, I think they would play the Nets, which they could, you know, they match up well. They could actually win that playoff series, but I just don't think. I think that's devastating. I think it's devastating. I mean, they can be as positive as they want, and again, you know, Coach McMillan can coach his butt off, but it's only so much you can actually take without Oladipo in the lineup.
So let me ask you this: you said that they would play the Nets, you know, the Nets in the first round, and they could potentially beat the Nets. It can go either way, I think, at this point. Would you make a move to potentially bring in another player like Mike Conley, for example? He's on the trading block. But he's a pretty adamant, a pretty good piece to add to your team. Would you make a move to bring in someone like him, specifically Mike Conley, to potentially get your team to the second round, maybe even to the third round? And then he also has a couple of years left on his contract, so then maybe that would give an opportunity for him and all the people to play together next year and then see where it takes him. Would you make that move?
I wouldn't. If I were Indiana, I would not overreact right now. I think Okay. You're in a good position. You're in a good position to keep the pieces that you have and try to gut this season out. I don't think you should. You know, if it makes sense. Look, if it makes sense financially, which I'm not aware of, you know, their financial situation. Sure, pull the trigger, because Mike Conley, you know, is a dog. When the game was on the line, you can trust Mike Conley with the ball to either shoot or distribute. And, you know, but I just don't think you can make moves just for the sake of a name, because you don't know how Victor Oladipo and Mike Conley are going to mix. You don't know what that's like. You're not desperate at this point. You're in the East. I think you're still in good position. Don't panic. Don't go for Mike Conley. But if Mike Conley makes sense, if Victor signs off on it, yeah, go ahead, pull the trigger.
I'm just curious. Like, I feel like at this point, they're so close, but yet so far. Like, you don't know.
Yeah.
Like, they're really in a tough place, and it's tough to see a great kid like Victor Oladipo go down, because he was definitely separating himself and becoming on superstar level status. He was going to make an all-star team again, and he was just establishing himself in the league, finally settling in. You know, he had moved around a little bit from the Magic to OKC, but it seemed like he's found a home in Indiana. He was flourishing. And just for the way he got injured, it just was a poor timing. His team doing well. Just unfortunate, man. And I kind of want to see I don't want to see the Pacers just fall flat. So I feel like maybe they should make a move. But like you said, you don't want to mortgage off a piece of your future for an uncertain piece. So it's a tough decision for the Pacers to have to make. It kind of reminds me of the Wizards a little bit with the John Wall injury. Like, those guys are going to have to make a decision this upcoming summer.
Well, yeah, they've got a lot of things coming down the pike. But, you know, historically, you know, decisions they have made haven't really put them in a position to where the Pacers are. I take that back. You know, we were there, you know, back in 2014, 2015, you know, with a high seed, I think we were third or fourth in the East, you know, where the Pacers are right now. But
Look, like I said, I don't think Indiana needs to make any moves right now. Excuse me, right now. I think they can still give it time. They can gut the season out, and really learn how to play without Victor. And I think when you do that, and you see the same thing without with the Wizards, is that when you learn how to play without your superstar, your team gets better because they're relying more on each other. You don't have Victor there to rely on. You don't have John there to, who do we look to now? You gotta find somebody new, and you have to really play as a team. And I think that, there's a growth period that's happening right now with the Wizards. And this is still fresh for the Pacers. There's this growth period right now where they can really put some things together and find other guys who can really, put things together on the court to make a run, without their star player. I mean, there's no need to panic right now, especially if you're in the East. Now, if you're in the West and you're in that position, oh yeah, definitely make it happen. But you can actually, with the way things are going in the East, you can sustain the way you're playing. If you could just play like 500 basketball the rest of the way, you're still in good position. So I would not really make that move. But like I said, if it's there, if the money's there, and Victor's comfortable with it, you talk to your star player. If Victor's comfortable with it, yeah, go ahead, do your thing.
Oh man, it's a lot of decisions to be made. So this is gonna be a very it's gonna be a very exciting summer free agency, trade market and draft. I feel like it's gonna be a lot of pieces moving around. It's gonna be a lot of people, I would say new faces and new places. So it's gonna be very interesting. I mean, with that, we're gonna take a quick commercial break. Hopefully we come back, get the mood back up on the show. That was a little bit depressing. Sorry to bring the energy down, guys. That Oladipo thing, man, it hit a little close to home. I know his sister went to school with her, so it's just sad to see somebody go down like that. But we'll be right back after this short commercial break with Listen In with Kanan.
It's time to recognize those individuals that are doing good in the community and making a difference in the sports world. Without further ado, Kelsey presents this week's Do Good Sportsperson Award nominee.
Welcome back to Listen In with KNN, the sports town of the DMV. I am your host, The Other Ray J, and I have my wonderful guest, Ralph Wesley. All right, let's get right into it. Kelsey's not here, so I'm going to do her do-good section for the week. Going to focus on Kevin Durant opening up an after-school program in Prince George's County, Maryland. This is going to be a new project here in Prince George's County, the college track at the Durant Center. He also is going to have a $10 million endowment for a center, and the center is going to address, I guess, at-risk youth and just give an opportunity for kids to do some other things in their community and give some other programs in their community. So, Ralph, I'll let you talk about that for a little bit. What's your thoughts on this program from KD?
I think, man, it's honorable to do something like that, to give back to your community. Like, Kevin really cares about that Sea Pleasant area. I mean, it is really a big deal because, growing up for him, everything wasn't given to him. He and his mom and his brother and his family really had to earn everything that they got. So for him to recognize that he's a hero of sorts to his community, and to give back. I mean, I think a few years ago he gave like 60 grand to build up some basketball courts around the neighborhood, so kids would have that opportunity to not have to go to other neighborhoods to play basketball. That this was something that Kevin built. This is like Durant's court, And now you have like this Durant, the Durant Center, and it's like it's going to give children a chance to, like, earn scholarships or something like that. I mean, it's a really, really good thing that he's doing. It's kind of like what LeBron did with opening the school in Akron, or is it Akron or Cleveland? I'm not sure. I can't remember what city it was in, but it's along those lines, and it's recognizing that you have a responsibility once you get to a certain level. If you have the finances to not only
you know, give back and build something that means something. But if you put, you know, have some sweat equity into it and come back and actually, you know, launch things and make a commitment over the next 10 years to give over $10 million. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Definitely. And that $10 million will be focused on scholarships, tutoring, and financial support to the neighborhood. And I definitely believe it's going to be able to help that neighborhood. It's great to see someone like KD give back, not forget where he came from, and understand that there's going to be kids that look up to him. And, you know, Kevin Durant Day is a huge thing in the area. So there's a lot of kids out here that look up to him. And kudos to him, and great job for him and his team putting that together for him.
Yeah, I mean, he has his own AAU teams here, mm-hmm. and I mean they got some really good kids that really look up to him. So absolutely.
All right, so we're gonna move right along to the a little bit more of a serious topic, but not so serious. I call this topic "Are You Serious Right Now?" I'm looking at Derek Carr. He had a little bit of a Twitter beef with the host from First Take, Max Kellerman and Stephen A. Smith. The issue came about when Max Kellerman made a couple comments on their show. He said, you can look at Carr. You can see when a quarterback don't want it, and Carr doesn't want it. In response, Derek Carr went to Twitter, of course. You know, that's where everybody goes when they have a tiff or some type of beef. He said, at UFC, at Dana White, hey, how do I challenge a couple of these clowns on TV to a fight? I think we should start a business together where pro athletes can challenge some of the things people can challenge some of these people to an octagon fight until they give us an answer. You don't know me, so stop lying. And that was pretty much directly aimed at Max Kellerman. So, Ralph, I want to ask you, do athletes have a right to be so offended by reporters and media when they make comments about them? And then my second part to that question is, do we have to hold the media accountable for things they say?
Yes and no. So the first question, let me answer it like this. Derek Carr has every right to be upset. And you know, if somebody says anything about you, to say, hey, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's wrong. That's not true. We know that's not true. So, you know, especially if something that you've put blood, sweat, and tears in, and, you know, year after year, you played football all your life, and some guy's telling you that you're not good enough. You know, that's going to make you feel some kind of way. With that said, don't let everybody know that you're mad. You don't have to defend yourself in public. You really don't have to. I mean, if Max is coming at you one-on-one in an interview and the camera's on, oh, yeah, you know, have at it. But if Max is doing what Max does, if that's in Max's job description, is to you know expound on certain subjects and really hit home on certain individuals, that's what he's going to do. But you don't have to take to Twitter. You know, you back it up with your play. Like, you have the opportunity of a lifetime with the Raiders right now, and Gruden going into his second year. Like, you have the opportunity of a lifetime to make a point. Like, you know, this team is not going to be as bad as it was last year. We know that. I think that's pretty clear. Gruden's not going to let that happen. Like, they're going to bring the pieces in to really make another push. And, you know, like, you have the respect of other players in the league. Like, I think Von Miller came out and said, showed his support. Like, the enemy of your rival came out and said, you know, the guy that looks to destroy you every game he plays you is saying, hey, he's an incredible quarterback. You don't have to. You can let other people stand up for you. Don't pick a fight with Max Kellerman. Come on, dude. Like, leave it alone. Now, getting to Max. Like, Max is doing what Max is supposed to do. Like, Max is supposed to be a tough critic of what he's, you know, of the subject matter that comes across his desk. If they want to talk about Oakland, he's free to say and have his opinion about anything. Do they have a responsibility to watch what they say? I think they do. I think they do, and they have to own up when they're wrong. But I don't think it's professional for a professional athlete to really say, you know, let me pick a fight with this guy. This guy's like, you know, who is he? Yeah, you know, just leave it alone. But I know
social media gives everybody that platform to be, you know, a genius or a dummy. And sometimes you get caught in between. But Max is just doing his job. I can't really fault him. But, you know, as long as you don't cross the line and really attack somebody's, you know, core character or their family or what they believe in, let him do his job.
I think Derek Carr, he does have the right to be upset, but I also want to give him part of the blame here because I feel like he gave more fuel to the story than there was because if he would have let it die, that would have been the show for today and it would have never came up again. But the story wound up carrying and getting legs for like about a couple of days, 3 or 4 days, because he challenged him to a fight at the UFC. That gave the story more life, and it made people want to click to see what Max Kellerman actually said. It made people look into the story and see, hey, is this a real thing? Are they really beefing? It just gave it more life.
Max definitely wins in this one. And now Derek has put a spotlight back on himself, and you got even more pressure on you. I mean, maybe you want that pressure. I don't know. But now you really have to go out and perform. I mean, it's all on you. Millions of eyes that may have not even wanted to pay you any mind, you know, coming up in 2019, are going to be like, oh, what's he going to do? You challenge the people to fights that have critiqued you. What are you really about? Let's see what happens. So, you know, pressure's on Derek Carr. Max Kellerman wins.
I agree. Max Kellerman won this. He might have won this battle. Will he win the war? That's what we're going to see. Because, I mean, here's the point. The Oakland Raiders did not have a great season. Derek Carr didn't have a great season. So the pressure it really is on him. Max Kellerman just got more views for his show. He really did win this one. So,
yeah.
All right, let's move right along. So this segment of the show we call What's the Move, where I typically look to further in the week to see what's the most exciting part. Obviously, the Super Bowl will be the most exciting part of our weekend, but I want to focus more on the halftime performances featuring Travis Scott and Big Boi. It was previously reported that Rihanna and Cardi B rejected the invitations in a show of solidarity to support, you know, Colin Kaepernick. And in that point, Travis Scott has received a lot of backlash from Kaepernick supporters for accepting the invitation. So I'm really anxious to see if his performance will be an influence in any way. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that Travis Scott's halftime performance will be influenced, or will he just kind of go on as normal?
Honestly, Ray, I am culturally inept when it comes to who Travis Scott is.
Okay.
I don't know if it come as a surprise to everybody. No, I've heard of him. I'm not familiar with him or his music. But I tell you what, Travis Scott can do. If Travis Scott wants to perform, I mean, it's a chance of a lifetime. I understand, like, people, you know, standing or kneeling in solidarity with Colin. I totally respect that. But you also have to respect somebody who may not ever get this opportunity again. So, you know, should people look down on him for doing it? No. I mean, it's an opportunity that, he's not going to pass up. I think even if he's, you know, if he was somebody's backup plan, which he seems to be, because you said Rihanna pulled out and who else pulled out?
Cardi B.
If those two young ladies pulled out, And somebody gave you a shot, I think by all means take it. Now if you get too much blowback from your fan base, and you know you don't want to see a decline in your record sales, then you have to reevaluate. But if you get enough people go ahead.
I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off, but I think that's part of it because he had the number one selling hip hop album in the country, so he didn't necessarily need this exposure.
Wow.
So why was he doing it? That's what a lot of his fans were saying. Why are you doing it? Meek Mill, he went on Twitter and said, "You don't need this, bro. Why are you doing it?" And I agree. Like, you had the number one selling album, one of the hottest songs on the radio with featuring Drake. Why are you doing the Super Bowl when you know a lot of your fans are opposed to it? I mean, like you said, it's his prerogative. He can do what he wants. But I did have that kind of conflict, right? Why risk it for not as much gain, per se? Like, you're not really going to get too much more from it. You know, halftime performers don't get paid for it. They pretty much are doing it for exposure. But you have that exposure already. You're also dating Kylie Jenner. So you already are big in media. You're already big, and everyone knows who you are for the most part. you don't necessarily need this extra exposure. So that's why I'm like, is it going to be worth it? I don't know. If you think back, do you know Chrisette Michelle? Do you remember Chrisette Michelle, the R&B singer?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
When she decided to perform at Trump's, I forget what it was.
Yeah.
Maybe it was his inauguration, I believe. And then
yeah, one of the balls or something. One of the balls that, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was one of the balls, sorry. Mm-hmm. Her career has never been the same since, and it's like, it wasn't worth it. So, I mean, I'm not saying that Travis Scott would necessarily fall off the way she did, because he's obviously a lot more popular amongst the younger kids and things, but it's a calculated risk. Like, I don't know if it's going
to
be worth it.
Well, yeah,
even the infamous Gladys Knight received backlash just for her singing. She's going to be singing the national anthem. She's been receiving, and she's a legend. So I don't know if it's worth it.
Yeah, I think you have to really look at, you know, their inner circle. Like, somebody's pushing them and telling them, hey, this is, like I said, they're probably looking at this like an opportunity of a lifetime. Like, you're hot right now. Like, how, you know, what way can you stay even hotter? Do the halftime of the Super Bowl. Like, you know, that's one way, like, you stay completely hot. But, you know, you got to stay true to your fan base. I mean, if your fan base is saying, hey, look, you don't need this. If your peers, if your colleagues are saying, hey, man, you don't have to do this. You're doing fine. You're like, bro, don't. I mean, you have to listen to that. You mentioned like Kylie Jenner. Like, again, I'm culturally inept, but I think people that align themselves with people like her, they always end up somewhere not where they started. with people like that. So I think for him it's an evaluation period. Hopefully if he needs to pull out at some point within the next week, you know, he will. But I think, you know, this is a big decision for him in his career. So I'm glad I'm not in those shoes, but I'm sure he wants to put on his resume or be remembered as, you know, a guy performing at the halftime of the Super Bowl with, you know, millions and millions of people watching. So, you know, it's just a tough call, man.
Yeah, definitely a tough call. I just hope he does something just to show he didn't leave his fans behind. Like you said, he received a lot of backlash. Most of it was from his peers, so maybe his fan base didn't really get too much negative feedback from it. So maybe he was like, you know what, it's not going to be a huge deal, and let's just push forward and see what happens. I can recover from whatever happens. So.
He's got enough money to hire a team to monitor his Twitter mentions and see what the pulse is on going through with it or not.
All right, Ralph. Before we get out of here, I definitely want to give you an opportunity to talk to our fans and let them know about what you got going on, as far as your foundations or anything you're working on right now. So here's your opportunity. Just let the people know what you got going on your side of town.
Hey, folks, just check me out at. At Ralph the Voice, ralphvo.com, ralphvo.com. I'm a voiceover artist. I do voiceover work from home. I have a couple of agents hoping to get unions at some point, so I can start booking some bigger gigs. So, you know, check me out if you know anybody that needs some voiceover work of any genre. Just be sure to give me a shout. And a lot of people ask me, you know, why do you miss Friday night games when you're doing for the Wizards? And, you know, it's my belief system. I keep the holy Shabbat, the holy Sabbath on Friday nights into Saturday night. So that's why, you know, my faith comes first amongst everything. So not basketball, not football, not anything going outside of my faith. My faith comes first. So I encourage anybody that is, you know, leaning that way to keep that in mind, because the Most High is always watching. So that's me. You know, check me out. That's who I am. I'm a voiceover artist. I love doing commercials, promos. So if you need anything, please give me a shout.
Hey, Ralph, I commend you for sticking to your beliefs, man. Like we just touched on in our previous segment. You stand by something and you're going to stick with that. And you see Travis Scott rather take the bag. So no, I'm just joking.
That was good. I'm just joking.
But like I said, I do commend you for taking that strong belief, standing behind your beliefs. It shows great pride and great willpower. So commend you for that.
Thank you.
And thank you for joining our show today, man. It was a great show. I wish Kelsey and Tyrone would have been here, but I think they'll be proud. I think I handled it well. I think you were a great guest as well. We had some great dialogue going back and forth, and you know I'm happy to always talk basketball. So anytime you want to come back on, just hit me up, and we can definitely do this again. Appreciate you.
Sounds good. Sounds good, Red. Thanks, and give my love to Kelsey and Tyrone.
All right, that's a wrap for this edition of Listening with Kanan. I hope you had fun, learned something, and, of course, jumped on the Kanan bandwagon. Be sure to listen in each and every week for new shows that drop online at FoxSports1340AM.com and KelseyNicoleNelson.com. If that's not enough, the show is available for download on iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback and support matter so much. Until later this week, enjoy the sports world. Smile and don't take your fantasy sports too seriously, because there's always another play.
Follow Kelsey on Twitter at @TheRealKNelson. You've been listening to Listen In with KNN on AM 1340 and 96.9 FM Fox Sports Radio.